This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Shakti Gawain. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Welcome, and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is on the epidemic of chronic pain. And I chose this for multiple reasons. And the reason that may be the most obvious isn't the reason I chose it. And one of the reasons I chose it is because in the United States, $90 billion are spent annually on direct medical expenses, loss of income, compensation payments, and legal charges that are associated with chronic pain. The next reason was there are over 116 million Americans suffer from chronic pain, not only the physical aspect of it, but the psychological aspect of it as well. And also, it isn't just a global problem in the United States. It's actually a global problem. And as I was doing some of my research, over 60 million Australians suffer from chronic pain. Over $3 billion are spent yearly on over-the-counter pain relievers. Also, 40 million Americans suffer from arthritis pain. 13 million Americans can't perform a routine activity because of pain. 65% of Americans under the age of 45 suffer from some kind of chronic pain. And then 85% of Americans suffer from a lower back pain and will suffer at that 85% from the age 62 and on. So that was one reason I thought, oh my gosh, when I'm looking at these statistics, look at what we have. We've got an epidemic going on. It's not just in the United States, it's global. But I really wanted to go in and look at what the roots of that epidemic was. And when I started really looking at it through the eyes as a medical intuitive, I realized that the epidemic of chronic pain is more psychological than physical. Now, I know that sounds strange because in most cases, chronic pain becomes the final expression of an acute situation, meaning an injury or surgery. But what we're really looking at with chronic pain is we are looking at a psychological illness. And when I stepped back and looked at that, then it said, you know, we really, if we're going to treat pain with these startling results that we have in these statistics, that what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to shift our thinking around chronic pain and not really just prescribe the medication. And all of you who are my listeners and any new listeners, please listen to me. I am not anti-medicine. I am not anti-doctor. But I will tell you that when we take those painkillers, there's benefit, but there's also risk because what it does is it prevents the brain from doing its primary job. So I want to talk about that a little bit more as I go through the show. So what this is going to be, it's going to be a show from a completely different perspective of chronic pain and looking at it psychologically and what can we do to retrain the brain to eliminate the pain. And that's the direction that the show's going to take today. In addition to talking about the chronic pain and this epidemic, I'm going to be taking your questions. So if you have a question for me, maybe it's about the topic today and you suffer from chronic pain, or maybe it's another health issue that you're dealing with that you would just like a different perspective, a holistic perspective. What I invite you to do is to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for callers in the U.S. and Canadian callers, and then as well as international callers. Another reason that I chose the epidemic of chronic pain topic today is that beginning on June 18th, it's a Tuesday, so June 18th, June 25th, and then also on Tuesday and July 2nd and July 9th, I'm going to actually start offering a four-part webinar series on understanding and healing pain. It's an online course. You can listen to it via the computer, via Skype, or through the telephone. And the time for this particular four-course webinar is 5 o'clock Pacific time. It runs from 5 p.m. Pacific time Standard Time to 6:30. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9:30. And then I have a special that's going on, an early bird, that if you sign up for it, what you do is it only costs you $79. And it's important that you do register before June 17th at 5 p.m. Now, what that $79 is going to do is that it's going to give you a chance to participate, even if you can't participate. And what I mean by that is a few days following each one of the weekly courses, and there's a workbook that's also attached to each one of the four courses, so you can capture your thoughts and notes, and it'll provide some basic information. What you will do is you'll receive this as a download, and then what you can do is you can take those downloads and listen to them at your leisure. Maybe it's listening to them in their full 90-minute sequence, or maybe it's going to be in little short bursts. But the advantage is you get the $79, you get the downloads, you get the workbooks, and then after the class registration closes on the 17th, then the cost is going to increase. So what is this class all about, this webinar that I'm going to be doing? Well, each week I'm going to be really looking at the roots of the different aspects of pain in general, and then also chronic pain. So what I'm going to be doing in the first course is I'm going to be really looking at, let's define pain, the classifications of pain, and how pain is really a mind-body sensory process. Lesson two, I'm going to be looking at the physical components of pain. This is going to be on June 25th, and we're going to be looking at how the brain receives pain messages and how it responds to those pain messages, and then really look at the physiology of pain itself. Then in the third lesson, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be looking at the emotional components of pain, the psychological part, which is what I'm going to be touching on in today's show. And I'm going to be looking about at how the perception you have of your pain, and especially chronic pain, can actually exasperate the pain itself and cause it to continue in that chronic state, and how merely a shift of perception of chronic pain can literally start the body and the mind, particularly in being able to remove the pain itself or the pain messages, or turning itself off to the pain messages. And this can be done without medication, because really chronic pain is a psychological pain that affects the body. It is not a body pain that affects us psychologically. It may start out that way. I don't mean to negate that. But really, when we look at chronic pain, it is literally a psychological disease that impacts the physical part of the body called the central nervous system. So chronic pain in the body is a central nervous system disease, but the real underlying contributor is the psychological components. I'm going to be looking at the emotional code that's connected with pain, the pain trauma, the pain anger, the pain anxiety, the pain depression, the pain loneliness connection, because all of those psychologically impact us. And I'm also going to, in the fourth lesson, be looking at what can we do to heal pain beyond medication. And I'm going to be bringing in a lot of the latest research about what's being used in neuroplasticity, neurogenesis, and then also how Stanford School of Complementary Medicine in Stanford, California is actually using crystals and magnets to change the vibration of the body and change the vibration of the brain and the way that it reads the information energetically, which we know is very true, and how we can use things like that. And then also the healing power of movement, touch, cognitive therapy, and then talk therapy. Very, very valuable in dealing with chronic pain. And then on top of all of that, if you sign up, then there's going to be on July 16th, a one-hour discussion where I'm going to be taking your questions on a one-to-one basis, and we're going to be looking at pain from that standpoint, and then also talking about the topics that I covered in the webinar itself. So really what you're getting is you're getting 5 weeks, you're getting time with me, and we're getting a real holistic perspective of pain and chronic pain, which is the only way, very honestly, I've found in all of the years I've been doing, over 30 years as a medical intuitive, the only way that we're going to be able to heal that pain is to do it holistically, meaning understanding all parts of it. So if you would like more information, you really want to read about it, make sure that it's a match for you, then what you do is just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and you'll notice on the home page, the moving slides, just click on Understanding and Healing Pain. It'll give you all the information, and then you can register online. I hope that you can join me because what I did is I started all of this process because of an injury that I had, and basically started me on this journey of how can I basically look at pain from a different perspective. So again, go to my website and visit it. Also, if you have a question for me today, you can call me at 877-230-3062. And then what we can do is I can pull out those medical intuitive skills, and we can look at what is going on in your body, and we can talk about the topic today. So as I just mentioned, this journey around chronic pain really became a journey of my own pain that I was experiencing. And I want to start out by telling that story. And any of you who are listeners know I'm very human, very open. Any of you that are new, please, I'm very human, I'm very open. And I spend a lot of time standing and teaching and standing on my feet. And I go for long periods of time where I'm actually on the road going from one city to the other. So I'm sleeping in different beds. I'm dealing with different foods and the additives and the way that that works. And then I'm on my feet for a long time. So this journey really started back when I got home after a 6-month tour where I was home very little in between. And I just decided that I was just feeling so stiff. I really needed to go in and start working with the muscular aspect of my body, because I was getting all those little telltale signs, the tightness in the back, the tightness in the hamstrings, the shoulders were bothering me. So I thought, you know, I really need to put together an exercise regimen. And so I did. I bought a treadmill, and I thought, well, this is a wonderful way because it really works with all the muscle groups. It is a cardio, has a cardio aspect of it. So I bought a treadmill. Bought a new pair of actual walking shoes for the treadmill. Decided one morning that this was the day that, doggone it, I was going to begin this whole new process, and I was going to work toward this healing of my body from the wear and tear that I have just from the stress, distress, and then also the time sitting, standing, and so forth. So I decided I was going to go out there. I did. I got on the treadmill. I was on the treadmill for approximately 10 minutes, and all of a sudden I noticed that my right foot was hurting. And my body was sending messages to my brain like, you know, I'm not really sure that this is a real good thing at this time. Is there anything that Carol did that maybe she forgot? But in my mind, I had read that if I'm going to be able to bring back this mobility, then I need to spend 30 minutes on the treadmill. My brain overrode what the messages from my body was sending me, and doggone it, I was going to stay on that treadmill for 30 minutes. I don't care if that foot hurt. It was just a process that I was too tight. My mind rationalized it. And it said, you're going to stay on it. Well, what I did is in the course of that, instead of letting my body take the lead as far as what I was to do, I stayed on that treadmill for 30 minutes. And when I got off of it, I couldn't even walk. And I thought, wow, that's kind of a strange thing, you know, and my yellow personality having to rationalize and look at it. I went in and I just thought, well, this is crazy. I'm sure it's going to go away. But then I realized that I hadn't stretched. I'm breaking in new shoes. I haven't done any kind of physical exercise other than a little bit of yoga when I had time. And what I did is I literally injured myself, thinking in my old Carol that it would heal itself very quickly, and ended up with plantar fasciitis. And what I found is that not only could I not stand, I was having difficulty walking, and spent probably the first 4 weeks literally crawling from one part of the place of my home to the other, and then pulling myself up, and then decided I needed to go do something. So I went to a doctor. And, you know, I'm not anti-doctors, but I went to this podiatrist, and the podiatrist said to me, Carol, the only thing I can do for you is I can give you cortisone shots, or I can give you high mega dosages of ibuprofen. Now, I'm not one to take medication because mainly I haven't needed it. So I very arrogantly looked at him and said, and why would I do that? And he said, well, actually, it's the only way that we're going to deal with the inflammation of the injury. And I thought, well, nope, I'm a medical intuitive. I can do this. So I thanked him very much for his time, went home, and spent 6 months trying to figure out why I wasn't getting better. Well, I wasn't getting better because I was re-injuring my foot all of the time, and it was changing my gait, and it was actually injuring my left foot as well. And so I would try things, but and all the things that I tried physically, the chronic pain was still there. And I didn't even realize the psychological implications for myself. I can do this with other people for myself, but why this was actually occurring. So after 6 months, I called the doctor and I showed up and he goes, oh, you're back. And I said, yes. And he goes, well, you know, Carol, the only thing I can do is cortisone shots or ibuprofen. Which do you want? And I very humbly looked at him and said, both. Because I was recognizing that this pain was limiting my social life. It was impacting me financially. But more importantly, my world was shrinking because of what I wasn't able to do. That became the first real indicator. I took both. I got cortisone shots in both of my heels and my ankle area. And if any of you have had plantar fasciitis and had that, I'll tell you, sometimes plantar fasciitis is better than those darn shots. But the reality of it is they didn't work. And I did the ibuprofen, and it didn't work. And I kept wondering why. And then I started looking at it psychologically, as I do with others, but doing it with myself. And I started recognizing that in all of the pressure from childhood on, I have felt in different aspects of my life unsupported. And what I found in having this problem, plantar fasciitis, and then not being able to do things, then I was beginning to get support from the people that I had not had support of in my life. I wasn't even aware of the secondary gain that I was getting from this pain process that I was in. And my feet were healing. I went back to the podiatrist and he said to me, I went back a couple months later and he said, Carol, your feet are fine. You need to work on your mind. And I thought, well, arrogantly, I thought, well, you know, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. He's a doctor. And I went through that whole yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, light bulbs. So I really started on a quest to really look at the real aspect of chronic pain and to recognize it may have started with an injury or surgery. We're not going to negate that. But what we're going to do is we're going to really look at that chronic pain and the secondary gains that we get out of that are feeding something psychologically that honestly we may not have even been aware of. So what I realized, what the real turning point for me in the healing of this chronic pain, and I mean, it went on for a long time. It would go away. That when it would go away, it would let me know that the pain itself, the problem itself was gone. And then I would get stressed. I would feel like I was carrying the weight of the world on my back. I felt like I was stuck. I couldn't move forward. I was struggling with direction. I was doing all of these things. I was dealing with it psychologically, not knowing what I could do. Could I earn a living? And it just became an avalanche of fears, insecurities that continued to feed it. And when I didn't have those insecurities, I didn't have chronic pain. When I found myself falling back into the abyss of those fears and insecurities, I had chronic pain. And I thought, well, that tells you something. And I decided, I woke up one morning and looked at my body and thanked it for the healing and told my brain, today we're going to stop fixing this. Today we are going to look at chronic pain differently. And it put me on a 3-year journey to look at chronic pain and to share a lot of what I'm going to be sharing in this understanding and healing pain, but also what I share in how I do my work as a medical intuitive. And I am in the process of bringing a model to hospitals and senior living facilities to be able to look at the underlying psychological aspects of chronic pain and to teach the nurses, the doctors, to educate them, to look at the caregivers, the facilitators that do such a wonderful job in these senior living, assisted living facilities. How can I help you learn that what you experience with patients that have this ongoing this pain is that maybe we need to shift the perception from throwing everything at the physical body and offering them what they need psychologically, emotionally, to be able to heal themselves. And it has been literally a 2-year quest to be able to do this. So what I really started recognizing is, and doing this work and working with all the wonderful neuroscience that we have coming forward now, is I started recognizing that the brain, even though we use it for problem solving, which is what it's designed, the primary mandate, the primary directive, the primary responsibility of the brain is to first and foremost protect itself, and secondary, to protect the physical body. And as long as it does that, we will thrive, we will survive, even if our limitations become so pronounced that they shrink our world. So when you think of chronic pain, think of it as a psychological fix-it problem in the brain, where the brain is so conditioned to fix the problem that it doesn't even recognize the problem doesn't exist. One of the things that we now know from the field of neuroscience is when the human body is in physical pain consistently for 60 minutes, and that's, I don't know the magic number, we're studying that now, but for 60 minutes, your brain actually changes itself in how it adapts, and it accepts pain as the norm and being out of pain as being abnormal. So your brain, in trying to fix the pain, the problem, actually becomes hypervigilant, overactive, and it is always on guard, on call, protective. It's always on the defensive to read any little signal that your body sends it. It could be standing somewhere and you just happen to turn and you have tight muscles and you get that little twinge or you get that little, oh, then your brain reads that, batten down the hatches, we've got a major problem, we've got, we don't know if this is a big problem, a little problem, we don't know if it's going to be an injury to the spinal cord, we don't know what it is. It sends out the message to the immune system creates an inflammatory reaction in that little area where you had that little twinge, and now what you have is you have a brain that's overactive, trying to protect itself and your body. And what it does is in that inflammation, it freezes that part of the body. But in that process, it also creates a fluid buildup, compresses the nerves. Now the pain and what the brain did is justified. So what we have to do is we have to create an interference between the messages the body sends and the way the brain receives those messages. Interesting, we now know, again, looking at the wonderful science we have in the study of the brain, we know that inside the human brain, there are no pain receptors. So your brain really doesn't have these hidden mechanisms within it that is reading pain. We know that pain, the brain experiences pain because all of those little fine blood vessels, those little capillaries, those little veins on the outer part of the brain, when the brain sends messages to the brain, it goes through the adrenals. The adrenals create fear, constricts the blood vessels. The brain itself becomes compressed. There's an actual tension that's created because of the constriction of the blood vessels. The brain is not getting the blood flow it needs. It feels like it's being put in a vise or being squeezed. The inherent part of the brain that reads fear responds with the fight or flight. Now we have an avalanche of chemistry, hormonal changes, immune system triggers inflammation, and now the brain has fixed the problem. The problem is completely isolated. And that's exactly what happens with chronic pain over and over and over again. And every time we psychologically feel something, the brain responds in that old adapted behavior, that old physical standpoint, and psychologically the root of all pain and why it becomes chronic is fear. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about what are those fears that each of us have within us. And I mean, I know we've got a lot. I've certainly got my fair share, but what are the pain, the fears that we have within us, relate to those fears. I'm going to ask you to actually listen and choose a fear that you can relate to. And then what we're going to do in the next segment, we're going to identify that fear and we're going to look at what can we do to change the energy, the thoughts, the emotions around that fear. And that will be the road to the freedom from chronic pain. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back. Boy, this is fun. I'm looking forward to having you joining me in the next segment.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back, and today I'm talking about the epidemic of chronic pain in a completely different perspective from the standpoint of the physical body. It isn't to negate the physical body, and it isn't to negate that the body takes some time to heal. So when you get in that healing mode, or let's go back, when you have an injury or you have surgery, your brain is very engaged in the process. But you know, the nice thing about an injury or about a surgery is that we're open to taking pain medication. And again, you know, I'm not anti-medicine. Take that pain medication, and what that does is it doesn't put us in that 60-minute consistent pain syndrome, which, by the way, chronic pain is a syndrome. And what I mean is it's a combination of a lot of different aspects to it that keep it alive, keep it healthy, and keep it impacting your life. We're looking at the psychological aspects of it in this show, but we also need to look at the injury itself. We need to look at the muscular system. We need to look at the skeletal system and the impact on the bones itself. And we need to look at the immune system and the inflammatory response. So when we think of chronic pain, it isn't just because of the injury. It's because of all of these different aspects of the dynamics of how we heal that need to be taken into consideration. So when we look at chronic pain, the real way to be able to deal with this is to literally go through and look at it psychologically. Also, I wanted to let you know that in addition to continuing to talk about this in this segment, what I would do is I'd love to take your calls, so please call me at 877-230-3062. And what I can do is we can talk about what's going on in your body as a medical intuitive. I can offer a holistic perspective. And what we can do is look at it in that holistic perspective and come up with something that you feel you can do to be able to heal yourself. Please remember that your body is an exquisite healing machine. It will heal the problem. It will heal the problem. If there's an injury such as a break in the spinal cord and you become a quadriplegic, and that please know that that body and brain is still in a healing mode, that it is building new neural pathways, that it is creating new brain cells, that the body is healing the way that it needs to, and it's learning to adapt, adjust, create detours, but the body itself can remain healthy even in a case where we have an acute situation. So the pain itself really over time should, I rarely use that word, but should go away. But when it doesn't, it means that there's something psychological that is happening. And if we look at that psychological part as a secondary gain, and in my case, where it's not feeling supported, which is really kind of a, really when I look at, step back and look at it, it was a falsity in my mind because I really am. But I psychologically went way back to when I was 2 and 3 years old, when I didn't feel psychologically or supported by my mom and dad the way that I needed. So here has been this root of this feeling unsupported. As a result, I don't ask people for anything because if I do, they're not going to support me, so why do it anyway? So you build up walls, you build up walls, and then what you do is those walls then become the confines in your mind that shrink your world over and over and smaller and keep you stuck in the mental limitations of what is going on in the body itself. So remember that the body is an exquisite healing machine. Sometimes the nature of the injury or the surgery itself, it takes a little longer. One of the things that we don't seem to have with ourselves, excuse me for generalities, it's always dangerous, but it's consistent in the work that I've been doing for so long, is that we have been conditioned to have patience for others and we're very good at it. But when it comes to ourselves, we really have no patience at all. We experience anger because here it is again. Now my world's going to shrink. I'm not going to be able to do this. I don't know if I can earn a living. I can't go and be with my friends. I'm going to sit around. And now we start having the aspects. The next stage of anger is we get the fear. When we get the fear, then our world shrinks more. Then we start to feel depressed. Then we start to feel lonely. Then we start to feel the trauma. Then we start to go back in the pain and we go, that darn body, that darn pain, that darn this, that darn that. And now what we do is we start to turn on ourselves. So when I'm really working with someone dealing with chronic pain, the first thing I always ask them is, do you believe that you can heal this pain? And the response always is very quickly is, yes, Carol, I believe. That lets me know that their brain is very tired of fixing something. It does, because the reason it's tired of fixing something, it really doesn't know what it's even trying to fix. It's just in that state, we'll fix it, fix it, fix it. But when I ask the person the second time, do you really believe you can heal this? I get a hesitation. Now I start to recognize that we actually have a battle, a tension that is going on between their head and their heart as to whether they truly believe it. And when I get that hesitation, I know that on their physical level, they believe it. On the psychological level, they don't. Not said with judgment. The reason they don't know what the psychological root of that problem is. So then as we go through the reading and we talk about the physiology of pain and we look at it, and then we start looking at the psychological aspect, I ask them again, do you really believe that you can heal this pain? Now I'm dealing with them at a deeper level, a psychological level, and now they start to become aware that, you know what? This pain is not who I am. This pain is not going to limit me the way that it is. This pain is robbing me of doing my soul work. It's robbing me of being with people. And one of the things I tend to find consistently with chronic pain, when we get at that soul level, I consistently find the person I'm working with is saying, Carol, this is stopping me from my soul work. It's not, they don't say to me, Carol, this is stopping me from making a living, or Carol, this is stopping me from being able to go and get to work every day. They say to me, Carol, this is stopping me from my soul's work. So when I go in and I get to that level, then it's like, let's dig deeper. And let's look at some of the things that are stopping you from doing that soul's work. Number one is, are you afraid to do it? Well, yes. Why are you afraid to do it? Well, because I'm not going to be like everybody else, or I don't march to the same drummer, or I'm going to stand out, or my family's going to disown me, or, you know, maybe my loved one or my spouse or my partner isn't going to understand me, and then I'm going to feel unsupported. I'm going to feel like I'm standing alone trying to do something surrounded by people who I believed were going to support me and, in fact, aren't there for me. And I can hear that deep breath they take when they start to, when they finish that, and the recognition, oh, this chronic pain is maybe getting me the attention. Maybe it's bringing them into my life. Maybe it's feeding a part of me that psychologically has been like a dry reservoir, and we're not even aware of that. And then what I do is I go back and I remind someone dealing with chronic pain about the different myths that we have around chronic pain. And these myths are that there, that chronic pain is the evidence around something of a physical damage. Well, the reality of it is that if you were to go to a doctor in that chronic pain state, not in that acute state where we actually have an injury or a surgery or response to a surgery going on, but if you went to a doctor when you talk about chronic pain and they start running all this highly sophisticated imaging that is going to be looking in the area where you experience the chronic pain, generally 95% plus, but I'm going to go 95%, that imaging is unable to find a specific form of structural damage which is responsible for chronic pain. The second myth around chronic pain is the evidence of a spinal body weakness or vulnerability. Well, the reality of it is the spine is the body's core strength. It is designed anatomically with these discs in between that act as shock absorbers. It's got muscle structure that is strong to be able to support it, hold it upright. It's got ligaments. It's got tendons. It's got everything it needs to keep it healthy. And what occurs is with chronic pain, because of what we call idiopathic pain, meaning that you may, in my case, I hurt my feet. Well, anytime my feet hurt, my lower back hurts. So I get confused. Is this my lower back or is this my feet? Well, the reality of it is maybe I didn't wear the shoes that I needed. Maybe I didn't wear my orthotics or bringing. There's something physical. I understand that. But when I go to that lower back, I think, oh my gosh, here I am carrying the responsibility on my back alone. And then I recognize that on that back, in me personally, there's deep-seated resentment. What do I need to do to get out of this? I know physically that when your ankles are tight, your sacroiliac joint is tight, that pelvic girdle muscles are tight, and as a result, you're going to experience tightness in the lower back and potentially chronic pain. So when I get into that place where it's like, OMG, OMG, and the light bulb's going off, what do? I stand up and I walk. Now, is it comfortable? Not always, but I walk. And what I do is when I walk is I change my space and I change my frame of mind and I change my energetics around this pain in the back. And I recognize that there is nothing from all the work I've done. There is nothing structurally damaged that is the root of this pain that I'm experiencing, and then I look at it completely different. The third myth is chronic pain is only likely to get worse with time. Well, I need to tell you that I can firsthand say that this is true, because one of the things when I went and worked with the podiatrist the first time and he looked at the feet and he said, oh, you have plantar fasciitis, the next thing that came out of his mouth and said, Carol, you will never go barefoot again. Well, I love going barefoot. I love being without shoes. And it was like I first of all went in my arrogance and said, you know what? He's wrong. And shortly thereafter, my brain goes, you know, he might be right. And I started actually accepting what he said, I will never go barefoot again. I was so afraid to go barefoot, whether I was going to the shower, whether I was going to the swimming pool, whether I was walking from the bed to the bathroom, whatever it was, I was so afraid. I went out and bought a pair of sandals that were comfortable. Now, my feet didn't hurt in these sandals, but the minute I took them off, my feet hurt. So psychologically, I accepted what he said. And when he said to me, it will take 2 or 3 years for this to heal. And you know what? I immediately bought into it. And I was 3.5 years and it still wasn't. And I thought, you know, he's wrong. It's going to take a lot longer. And I bought into that. So I do this work. I do it with others. I can see it in my field. But the power of the mind to protect itself is so strong, is so overpowering in what it can create. And remember, the primary mandate, the objective, the directive of that brain, first and foremost, to protect itself in the body. And whether it's psychologically induced or physically induced, that brain is going to keep me believing what the doctor said, until one day I woke up and I said to the brain, you know what? You're fired. We're not going to fix this anymore. So the reality of it is, with the right type of information and a recovery program, whether it's chiropractic, acupuncture, working with plantar fasciitis from orthotics, working with the right shoes, working with iced water bottles, water bottles that are frozen, rolling your feet on it, using ice on the back, whatever it is, what we find is there's no reason for the trigger or the cause of chronic pain to get worse over the course of time, unless your brain believes that it will. Another one of the myths is that chronic pain is ultimately crippling. While people experience bouts of chronic pain, there's nothing inevitable about it. What I learned myself is that when I was stressed and I was feeling unsupported, as I now understand, I experienced pain. Now, the real irony of what I know with chronic pain and my own, and what I work with people as a medical intuitive, one day my right foot can hurt because that's where the injury is, and the next day my left foot hurts. The next day neither of them hurt. Then my left foot hurts, my right foot hurts. Why is that? Could it be because of the way I slept or the way I sat too long or my shoes, blah, 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 from a physical? And then I go in and I step back and I say, so right foot, do you hurt because I was doing so many responsible things and not doing what was important to me? I was doing all that urgency. And my left foot over there goes, you got it, Carol. And then when it's the left foot, when I talk to the left foot, are we just kind of avoiding things that I don't want to do? And my soul doesn't come in and go, yes, but my mind does. Yeah, you know, you kind of are. Well, then my left foot's going to hurt. So I've actually started to look at the patterns, and this is what really, again, got me on this path. So the reality of it is that the fact that the body is constantly in a state of healing means that your body is going to find a way to heal the trigger from a physical standpoint of the chronic pain, but it does not know, the brain does not know how to deal with it, nor does the body psychologically. The thing that I find is the most with dealing with chronic pain is that chronic pain precludes independence and the ability to do what you like. And chronic pain shrinks your world more quickly than depression. And there is a depression, chronic pain connection. There is a loneliness because it's you all alone. The pity party comes in, and I've certainly had my fair shares of them, and sometimes they were Oscar Award winning or Academy Award winning. I laughed about that as I looked back. I laugh when I go into them now because of all of the dynamics, because I know that if I do not find a way to look at this, then my world will get smaller and smaller and smaller. And as a result, I will not be able to do my soul's work, not because I'm going to lose my connection with intuition. I won't be able to do it because I will be so afraid of being in pain. I won't even be able to tap into my intuition. And it's like, okay, we're going to stop fixing this. So when we look at pain, let's go in and very quickly look at some of the fears that we have. And I want to kind of move through this and maybe even go into the ending the show this way from the standpoint of basically saying to you, one of the, there's, you know, we have a lot of fears. I said to you, I've got a lot of them, but what I want to do is I want to go in and I want to look at the primary fears that are associated with chronic pain. Fear around survival. That is the first and foremost thing. The minute we get chronic pain, we do not know how to deal with it. Our world shrinks. We are afraid we can't move. We're afraid we're not going to walk. We're not going to be able to write, type, do whatever, work on the computer, whatever it may be. And our world immediately shrinks. And then as a result, we start to be afraid we're going to be dependent on others. There's the independence going away. So the fear of survival locks us down into survivor mode. The fear of unknown. We don't know how long this chronic pain is going to last. We don't know if we're going to wake up to a good day or a bad day. We don't know if it's going to be a good day in the morning, a bad day a couple hours later, or a bad day in the afternoon. It is always a moving target. So the fear of unknown. The fear of abandonment. What if we need someone and they're not there? That supports the fear of feeling unsupported, which is actually an aspect of fear of abandonment. What are the people going to do? Are they going to get tired of listening to us always being in chronic pain? But we need to be able to talk about it. We know that talk therapy is a fabulous way to heal chronic pain. But if the people who are supposed, that you think are going to support you, don't, who are you going to talk to? Well, you know, I talk to my dog, and every so often my dog gets up and leaves, and I used to think, well, what's up with that? And now I recognize what she's doing is she's saying to me, hey, Mom, you're going there. You want to stop now? Whatever. So again, the fear of betrayal. Betrayal others. They're not going to support you, but more importantly, you're betraying yourself. You're limiting yourself. I understand that. Been there, done that. But the reality of it is that I know the body will heal, and we need to do that. But what we need to do is allow the body to heal and stop keeping ourselves hostage to those fears and insecurities. Fear of rejection. We reject ourselves constantly through the self-talk we have with the chronic pain. And what we have is, well, there it is again. You know, you've been trying all this for a long time. It doesn't seem to work. What's up? My gosh, you can't seem to do anything right. My goodness, Carol, you're a medical intuitive. You can certainly help everybody else. You can't help yourself. What's the matter with you? Blah, 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 yada, 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 yada. Next thing you know, I'm in chronic pain. So I have to go in and say, you know what? Just stop this. You know, if the pain is there and it feels real, it's real. Accept it. Okay. Let's move on. Stop self-rejecting. And then the final fear, when we have that chronic pain that lingers for years and years and years, is that we have a fear that where this chronic pain is going to be something that is going to be part of our death process. So we have the fear of dying. But really, in this particular case, we don't really have a fear of dying. We have a fear of suffering emotionally with our lives not being what we know it can be. We dream that we want it to be, and that we will die not doing our soul's work. That is the fear of dying. I want to jump in real quick. We've got a caller. Hi, Angela from San Diego. How can I help you, sweetie?
Oh, hi. I cannot say I have a chronic pain, but I do have pain on my chest. Actually, my heart has been broken, and I experienced heaviness and sadness in my chest for the past, I don't know, maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, I hope that this is just emotional and not physical related, and my heart is fine. And
okay.
to the spiritual realm, is there any improvement in my love life to uplift my heart, my broken heart, like a new relationship or... What can you tell me?
Absolutely. So let me go in first of all, sweetie, and tell you about your heart. Your heart is fine. When you were asking me that, I went in, as I do as a medical intuitive, and the first thing I do is I look at the atrium chambers of the heart itself. I look at the ventricle chambers of the heart. I look for sadness, which is in the left ventricle part of the heart, which is where we have heart attack. Your valves are good, your aortas are clear, your veins are working the way they're designed. I don't find any anomalies in the walls of the heart itself. I have no muscle structures. I have no predisposition for aneurysms. I look outside the heart and it just feels like your heart is being squeezed, but it's not congestive heart failure. I'm not looking at anything that is physical with this. My sense is, and I have to address this, is I know that you're having some anomalies in your heart rhythm, aren't you, honey?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That has to do with thyroid. It has to do with adrenals, and it has to do with what's going on in those two areas physically that is causing those irregular heartbeats. But there is nothing structural in the heart. Those irregular heartbeats are more electrical. The thyroid. When was the last time you had your thyroid checked?
A long time.
Okay. You're going through hormonal changes, aren't you, honey?
Correct. Yes,
cycles of life.
Yes.
So what it is the thyroid is responding to those hormonal changes. You're a little bit low on thyroid, the thyroid side on the scale of measurement that medicine uses, but you're not low enough that we have a problem. When you feel these irregular heartbeats, and that's what I'm going to call them, because they're really not palpitations, they come and go.
Yes.
It's tied to your hormones. It's tied to how it's affecting your thyroid. Your thyroid is the metabolic regulator. What that is doing is it's actually causing that electrical message that goes through your body. It's just changing. It's kind of like watching TV, and all of a sudden the TV goes out and we get a little bit of static, and then it comes back and everything's fine. So it's tied to the hormone part of it. When I look at the adrenals, there's anxiety that's associated with the breakup of this relationship that you had. And part of that anxiety is you're still trying to process what truck hit you. Why didn't you see it coming? Because you didn't. And the reality of it is very, very straightforward. You didn't trust him. You couldn't trust him because he did not speak the truth. It didn't have anything to do with you, honey.
The old relationship, right?
That's right. It didn't have anything to do with you. You were an important part in the dynamics of your soul growth and his, because you gave him an opportunity to step beyond those lies, those false fabrications of his personification of who he is. You loved him deeply. You cared about his well-being deeply. I, honest to goodness, I hope it fluffs your aura. It's not being said to do that. I don't know what else you could have done, honey.
With that being said, I bless him and everything else. With that being said, it's a new person I started to see.
There is. And I will tell you, the nice thing is this new person has some of the qualities of the old person being all the good qualities, because the old person had some good qualities. It filled a part of you that you were looking for. Those parts are also being fed. But the nice part of it is this person makes decisions emotionally rather than logically, and isn't afraid to dream, and is very spiritual and is very emotionally sensitive and very caring, and is exactly what you're looking for.
I absolutely. The relationship is kind of new, very new, and it has elapsed because he's traveling abroad. My question is this going to grow? And if so, what time frame you have? And if this is a long-term type of thing?
Yes, it's going to grow. What you will do is both of you will learn to adapt to the separation and to be able to find ways to keep that kind of emotional intimacy connection. And I'm not talking about the sexual part. I'm talking about that heart-to-heart that you feel with him. So, yes, that's going to grow. And you will adapt accordingly to the schedule itself. One of the things that, if I go kind of dig inside, is that you still have this lingering kind of residual from the breakup of the last relationship that is at the root of something else that actually is in the dynamics of your childhood. Honey, if he doesn't talk to you immediately when you respond to him, he's not going to abandon you.
My new guy?
your new guy, he is not going to abandon you. If he's not as responsive to you, there's nothing wrong, sweetie.
Okay. That's excellent validation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he cares about you very deeply. You guys are building the relationship as friends first. That's a healthy way to do it. But the old pattern within you is that if you try and try and try and you don't get the support, then it's going to fall apart. I don't believe that.
Excellent.
I don't believe that.
When do you see us connected again?
You know what, my love? I'm going to answer that quick, and I've got to go. When I see you getting together 6 months, and so let's stop with that. Everybody, chronic pain, let's make it go bye-bye. Light and love to all of you. How's that for being a medical intuitive? Bye-bye. Be gone with you. Thank you very much for joining me. It's a lovely time.
You've been listening to The Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.